It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We turn now to the grassroots efforts and the volunteerism for nearly a year now in Sturgeon Bay, raising funds for Ukrainian humanitarian relief through the sale of these blue and yellow candles that have become a symbol of hope. You can join the conversation by calling with your questions, your comments, any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Christiana Gorczynski-Trapani owns Door County Candle Company. Christiana, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, Christiana, let's turn to your family first, as you are Ukrainian and have family there. How are they doing?
Thanks for asking. It's so heartbreaking because I'd love to say like they're doing so much better and they are terrified every day. Just a few months back, maybe it was two at this point, I don't remember, we were trying to get them here to live with my grandma and have my aunt be here. And we had a way to get them to be safe in Poland, and to a family, my cousin's wife's family was offering to help them, but they would have to get on a train to get to Poland. And my aunt was just simply too afraid to leave her house because of the bombs so close. And I think that so many things have been heartbreaking in this, but hearing that like we were so close to being able to help to get her out, but the fact of getting on a train because the bombs and everything happening right outside her home was too scary for her. So they're still home, they're still safe, but it's not any better.
It sounds like they just feel better to shelter in place at this point. Yes. So turning to your fundraising effort, your company, raising all of these dollars with these candles. Can you give us an update on where you're at?
Yes, definitely. So as of just a week ago, we have donated over a total of $868,000 to Razem for Ukraine. So we're approaching $1 million here. And we've also, since we last spoke, we have sent over 10,000 tin candles to Ukraine through the nonprofit Razem for families and people fighting who don't have power. So these tin candles are a source of light for them. So we've been able to raise a lot of money with these candles and also send a lot over to Ukraine.
Can you tell us about the organization you're supporting, Razem?
Yeah, so Razem for Ukraine, they are based in New York, and they are very boots on the ground as far as their support and how they help. They have warehouses throughout Ukraine and in Poland with medical supplies to help people who have been injured. They have drones, for example, that drop medical supplies in areas that have been so destroyed by Russia. And they have volunteers and people who help families escape and evacuate. And they do so much to help. And they are such an incredible nonprofit. And not only that, but they are so transparent in what they do and how they use money that they raise, which is another reason that I love supporting them.
Is this fundraiser changing the way you do business or changing your company's values?
Yes, 100%. After we launched this fundraiser, I realized quickly that I want to be a philanthropic candle company. I don't just want to sell candles. I want our candles to make an impact and make a difference in many people's lives. And so we're actually planning to expand our philanthropic giving in our company. So we're going to be starting a lot of exciting things moving forward. We are always going to continue the in response to, because I call them, like when something happens and we want to help right away, we'll have that. But I also am looking at launching a kind of like a virtual fundraising opportunity for nonprofits and schools across the country that can easily raise money with our candles, like on an app or on a website, and try to help as many people as we can. And I also want to work on doing like quarterly candles for local nonprofits, where people can vote for nonprofits and we'll use candles to donate. So yes, the simple answer is yes. This has inspired me and definitely lit a fire in me that I want to give back to as many organizations and people as we can with our candles.
I wonder, you've learned a lot in a short time. What is your advice to business owners who wish to take up a cause, but they're unsure where to start?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say keep remembering why you're doing what you're doing and don't stop, because there was a few moments last year when we had, 35,000 orders in the queue and we only have, three tables to pour candles on. And it was stressful, but I know in my mind and heart, I kept saying, we're not going to stop. The bigger mission and the bigger cause that we're doing this isn't about the candle. It's about what the candle means and what we can donate from the candle. So I would say just to remember your mission and remember why you're doing it and keep going no matter how hard it is.
I think this is a moment where you can talk about volunteerism and how you've been able to really use the resources of volunteers to be able to, achieve this fundraiser.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. If it wasn't for our volunteers, this would not, we could not have pulled this fundraiser off. There's just no way. We were lucky from day one. We had people just from the community walk in and say, how can we help? What can we do? Put us to work. And from like labeling orders to cleaning jars to putting wicks in, we have had over 200,000 volunteer hours. And because of that, that is why we've been able to raise as much money as we have. And I am truly every day just so grateful for the community near and far who have stepped in to help and stepped in to help us make a difference. And truly, it's just incredible how many people have helped.
Christiana Gorchinsky-Tropani owns Door County Candle Company, shipping out tens of thousands of Ukrainian-themed artisan candle orders as this ongoing fundraiser for humanitarian aid continues. Colin, with your reflections on Russia's invasion nearing the one-year mark, aid to Ukraine, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in with the owner of Door County Candle Company, Christiana Gorchinsky-Tropani, as the one-year mark draws near since Russia launched a full-scale military invasion of Ukraine. President Biden there in Kyiv now. Colin, with your questions, your thoughts about the Ukrainian blue and yellow artisan candle fundraiser, share your reflections on hope, on peace, 800-642-1234. Christiana, Friday marking the one-year anniversary of the invasion. What are you thinking about as the war goes on?
I continue to just think about how not only, good and bad. I think about, of course, my heart is breaking every day for what they're having to go through. But I also think about how resilient and strong and powerful Ukrainians are. And I think what also comes of that is how many people in the United States want to help and want to make a difference. And I'm choosing to try to reflect mostly on how we are making a difference and how so many people want to help. And I'm trying to really this week really push the story of how these candles are bringing light metaphorically, but also in people's homes. And I'm trying to focus on the people that are really standing behind all the people in Ukraine.
Do you have a fundraising goal in mind for these artisan candles?
Yes, it's moved a lot. The first goal was, I think, truly in my head, like $500, and then it was $5,000. But I would love to hit $1 million. We're so close. We're at $868,000, and I'd love to hit $1 million, and then we'll see what the goal will be after that.
You were inundated early on with orders and shipping out tens of thousands of these candles in the queue. How steady is the demand for these candles as the war continues?
It goes in waves. So sometimes we'll see, a few hundred come in. Sometimes we only have maybe one or two a day, not very many, but I will say it has continued. The demand has continued. It's not as strong as the beginning, which I kind of figured would happen, but I am happy to see that people continue to get these candles and share stories about the candles. And we try really hard to continue posting about them and reminding people about them, since the war is still happening and Ukraine still needs our help.
And you mentioned this a bit earlier, but your company is creating charitable candles for other causes besides Ukrainian relief. Can you explain what you have an eye on in terms of other relief funding?
Of course. So we are kind of focusing on three main areas. One of them will be in response to candles. So that would be the Ukraine candle. We launched a candle for Syria and Turkey to help people who were affected by the earthquake. We're almost at $5,000 raised for that. We also are going to start a quarterly nomination where people in the local area can nominate nonprofits, and then every quarter we will draw out of a hat a nonprofit and then support them with a candle for that quarter. And then we're also looking at doing an individual fundraising opportunity where we're building out this platform where any nonprofit or school or group can easily launch a fundraiser and raise money with our candles for any of the causes to them. And we could be that, and we would make it easy for them to raise money. So those are kind of our three big initiatives that we're working on that I really want to launch this year.
Will you have to grow your staff to take on these initiatives?
Yes, right now we did hire, I believe we hired three or four new people since we launched the Ukraine fundraiser. And so I do believe that as this grows and hopefully all of these initiatives do grow, because that means more money is raised for so many amazing organizations, we will probably have to look at more staff. As well as if any volunteers in the community, we still have a few people every day, every other day, come and help. So, but staff definitely, we have warned them that this is kind of in our roadmap and we're all kind of preparing and hoping that it's really big because again, that means that the goal is achieved.
Really quickly, as we depart here, just a practical candle maintenance tip. When should we cut the wick?
Oh, very good question. When it is so a quarter inch is kind of the length you want it, and the first burn is the most important burn. So when you burn your candle for the first time, you want to burn it for 3 hours so the whole top of the candle is covered in wax, and then it'll ensure an even burn after that.
Christiana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Christiana Gorchinski-Trapani is owner of Door County Candle Company in Sturgeon Bay. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Institute for the Study of War, they produce daily assessments and maps of warfare in Ukraine and track the spending in Russia's costly invasion that's nearing the one-year mark. Colin, about the war, what you wonder about Russia's motives now, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Carolina Hurd is a Russia analyst for the Institute for the Study of War. Carolina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you so much for having me today.
Can you explain to us what is your assessment of where this war is going?
Yeah, so we're at a very interesting point in the war, nearing the one-year mark here, because we're seeing what appears to be a new Russian offensive along a certain line in Luhansk Oblast in eastern Ukraine. We've seen very gradual preparations for this offensive operation over the last months, which have been ongoing as the Wagner Group forces, it's a private military company that's, of course, gotten a lot of press lately, that the Wagner Group is pinned on this small settlement named Bakhmut. So we're seeing offensive operations starting in Luhansk Oblast as the Wagner Group is continuing to grind through manpower and equipment around Bakhmut. We're also seeing limited Russian offensives that are failing in very dramatic fashions in other areas in the theater, such as a small settlement called Volodar in western Donetsk Oblast, and then continued fighting kind of along the Dnipro River in southern Ukraine. But really what we're seeing is this new offensive push in Luhansk Oblast that seems to be intended to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin's goal to take all of Luhansk Oblast and Donetsk Oblast by March, even though we continue to assess that this is infeasible at this time.
What can you tell us about funding and weapons? Because, early this morning, President Joe Biden made a surprise visit to Kyiv, Ukraine's capital. Biden says Ukraine has captured a part of his heart and promised $500 million more in military aid. So how steady is the international support for Ukraine?
International support for Ukraine is very much steady at this point, and it's continuing to be a critical piece in balancing the scale towards Ukraine in this war. On the Russian side, we're seeing them continuously burn through very critical pieces of equipment, main battle tanks, artillery shells, aircraft, that sort of thing. So in order to give Ukraine the edge it needs, Western backing, Western weaponry, long-range artillery systems, tanks, armored fighting vehicles, those sort of thing, is very critical to maintaining Ukraine's capabilities in this war, even as Russian capabilities continue to degrade.
Early on, it was all the talk about sanctions and how the sanctions would really isolate Russia. How are sanctions affecting Russia's war effort and its economy?
We're seeing sanctions have an interesting effect here because Russia is using various mitigation techniques to try to get around both the sanctions that are being levied against the Russian economy and also just the continued use of critical weapon systems, that sort of thing, separate of sanctions. So we're seeing increasing efforts to establish bilateral relations with Iran in order to, for both countries to engage in some sort of sanctions mitigation, that sort of thing. And we're also just seeing the continued efforts for the Russian defense industrial base to increase its own capacity separate of the sanction regime.
Do you anticipate that the U.S. and its allies will levy further sanctions as this war progresses?
I think it's highly likely that the U.S. will continue to put economic pressure on Russia, aside from providing Western systems to Ukraine.
We're reflecting on Russia's invasion of Ukraine as the war approaches the one-year mark. Carolina Hurd is a Russia analyst for the Institute for the Study of War. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Carol in Milwaukee. Carol, what's coming up for you?
Well, I think that there is no such a thing as winning any war. We've had many, many wars, and they go on and on for years, and I think this is another one. And I think they spend $27 billion that I know of on this war, and they only have about $100 million for the earthquake, which would be pure gain. Whereas war, it's the only gain is like for the producers of weapons. They make a lot of money, but that's my opinion.
Carol, thank you. Carolina, you know, Carol worried about the endless war and losing sight of peace and the economic repercussions.
Yeah, so what I will say to that is that this is a war against Ukrainian identity and what it really means to be Ukrainian. We've seen Russian officials very much advocating for what we've assessed to be a wider ethnic cleansing campaign in Ukraine, which is why that continued Western support for Ukraine and continued Western targeting of the Russian economy, Russian capabilities is absolutely critical to Ukraine's continued survival as a nation.
Vice President Kamala Harris announced over the weekend in Germany that Russia has committed crimes against humanity during this war on Ukraine.
Gruesome acts of murder, torture, rape, and deportation. Execution-style killings, beatings, and electrocution.
How do you feel about this declaration?
We assess that the vice president's statements are completely correct. We've been tracking multiple lines of efforts carried out by Russian officials on Ukrainian occupied territory that amount to ethnic cleansing campaigns, crimes against humanity, etc. I've been very closely tracking, in particular, the forced deportation of Ukrainian children to Russia and the forced adoption of these children into Russian families, as well as efforts to what we call Russify Ukrainian areas, which is their social programming measures that basically try to eradicate Ukrainian identity and install pro-Russian sentiments, Russian identity. All of these factors adding up to what we continue to assess are crimes against humanity and a broader campaign of ethnic cleansing that is being carried out by the highest level of Russian government.
Why is Russia focusing on the children, taking Ukrainian children from their families?
They are justifying it along humanitarian lines, of course. The justification is that these children are in danger and they need to be removed from a dangerous situation and brought to safety on Russian territory. However, we do assess that this continues to be part of this overlying goal of eradicating what it means to be Ukrainian. So you take Ukrainian children from the Ukrainian families on Ukrainian soil and you bring them up in Russia using Russian language, Russian history. That is a very, very specific way to target what it means at the core to be Ukrainian.
Mm. Let's bring on a call. Jack is joining us from Madison. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. You know, this is very interesting. And obviously, I'd just like to say that Ukraine has the full support of the American people. And even though this is Ukraine's war, it is fair to say that in a lot of ways that the U.S. and the West as a whole is at war with Russia. And of course, the best we can do is provide support and military aid to Ukraine. Anyways, I came across a Washington Post article, and it's talking about the roundup of Russian spies. The title is, "In the Wake of Ukraine War, U.S. and Allies are Hunting Down Russian Spies." And one example it gives is how there was a German citizen who would be arrested when he returned to Germany for aiding Russia. And there are other such instances of that. And so, yes, I wonder how this development, like how familiar you are with the U.S. and the West rounding up Russian spies and how that ties into the recent developments in the conflict.
Jack, thank you. Carolina.
Yeah, so I can't necessarily speak to the broader pattern of the detention of Russian spies in countries outside of Russia. But I will say that there is a very concerted Russian information operation that is being perpetrated through individuals such as that, but also through social media, through various networks of influence, to basically try to dissuade the West or the U.S. from continuing to support Ukraine. Seem to be part and parcel of the same effort to essentially dissuade pro-Ukrainian sentiment and consolidate pro-Russian sentiment as the war wears on.
As the war wears on, Carolina, have we seen what Putin is fully capable of yet? What might Russia's new offensives involve that is yet to be seen?
To be honest, I don't think that we're going to see any sort of major inflection in Russian military capability in this next year of the war. They've lost so much. They've lost men, equipment, artillery, but they've also lost kind of the reputation of the Russian military. And that capacity cannot be reconstructed or reconstituted overnight. So the main battle tanks that are needed to conduct proper mechanized operations for this Luhansk Oblast offensive, they're just not there. So as the war wears on, we assess that we'll continue to see these kind of grinding attritional operations in Luhansk Oblast on the Russian side, but that Ukrainian forces will be able to, with continued Western backing, exploit these failures of the Russian military in order to pursue their own counteroffensive opportunities.
Carolina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Carolina Hurd is a Russia analyst at the Institute for the Study of War. That's a Washington, D.C.-based nonpartisan public policy research organization. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.